Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are you talking to yourself or is this from some
Godfather.
Movie I've never seen? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Have you seen The Godfather,
yeah,
I hope?
Once or twice.
It's Mike Shope.
I did not see it until my 30s, but then I became obsessed with it.
And the Bulldog.
I've never been obsessed with it, so I don't know it well enough to have picked up on that.
I did not care for The Godfather.
What?
Did not care for The Godfather.
I don't think it's a movie where it's like, oh, it's good. Godfather, yeah, I saw that. It was good. The Godfather, I saw that. I liked it. Like that's just right. You didn't really see it.
I'm not in the way of it being an all-time great. I never got obsessed with it.
Explain yourself. What didn't you like about it?
It insists upon itself.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
How about Matt Waldman today stopping by with some Dalton Kincaid porn, basically? Just, you know, yes. Here comes a monster season. He agreed to the use of that word as a description for what he's projecting for Kincaid. 93 catches, over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Then I asked him, like, okay, that's good. We know that. Is how that happens in a different-looking Bills offense overall good? And he said what? You know, work in progress kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, transition, words to that effect. Can be, you know, up to Allen to make it work. So I would say, and this probably doesn't perfectly represent Matt, but in a vacuum, Kincaid is primed, as he sees it, to have a great year. What does that mean for the Bills overall? He pointed out how, as we have too, I think, you know, I've been on this side of the coin for sure, more of a run-oriented team. He used Ray Davis in his article as perhaps evidence of the Bills planning to do that, the style of runner he is. So anyway, I mean, that's a huge... We've had guests, fantasy guests and others who have been super bullish on Kincaid last year and this year. Theo Greminger is one. He always mentions this to me, how excited he is about Kincaid. It's just, you know, okay, say you're right. Do the Bills still have enough? And does, as people are saying, and Matt Waldman also said, the lack of predictability then from not having Diggs end up being a positive? Bills fans want to think so. We'll see.
I mean, that really hinges to me on, you know, can those guys get open? Can they create separation? Or have I got, outside of Kincaid, have I got a group of guys that the opposing team is going to feel like, oh, you know, I'm not that worried about what the design of the play is, because I trust my guys are going to be able to stay with your guys. Right? I don't have to do anything all that exotic here. And in fact, maybe I'll be able to get exotic enough that I can work harder at just confusing the quarterback than I have to with, you know, who I've got to double and bracket and whatever. Yeah, the whole idea, like, I get the foundational point about having an advantage on the defenses you're facing by not having a guy that you know I'm favoring. Like, you know I'm going to Diggs, so you're going to try to take that away and see if anything else can beat you. And, you know, the Bills still had an explosive offense. Almost every year Diggs was here. And Davis, you know, got his, but they never really had a second threat. Like, someone that, you know, like T. Higgins to Jamar Chase. Like, I don't have that guy. The Philadelphia guys are a good example of this too. And so, like, I feel like we're sort of skipping a step, because, you know, we got to deal with what we got to deal with. The Bills needed for whatever reasons that they're not going to tell us, to divest themselves of Diggs. And so we're in this, well, we got a bunch of guys and you're not going to know what's coming. Somehow that's supposed to be better than upgrading your number two receiver, which it would have been, I think, a reasonable course of action as well. Like, I've got Diggs and that I know works. Well, what about Kincaid going into year two? Like, wouldn't all this be more available and intriguing and exciting if they still had a number one receiver and now a complement that's a threat as opposed to just a bunch of guys? I mean, all of it has just sounded like a lot of rationalizing. And that's not to criticize Matt, who said that, and Doug Farrar, who's written extensively about the same subject, because in theory, it's hard to disagree with. If you don't know what I'm doing and who my number one guy is, I've got some kind of an advantage on you. I don't know how big one it's supposed to be, but I get that should be an advantage in theory. But if no one scares you, then that doesn't sound like much of an advantage. Because if you don't know what's about to happen, but none of it is scary to you, then I think you can maybe wreak havoc with my quarterback in a way that we've not seen. And that could be a problem.
Are we, like, 1 to 10, the draft pick of Dalton Kincaid, like, these numbers are incredible, almost, especially for a tight end. We're always trying to figure out the best way to package him in these conversations, you know, like whether he's really a tight end or whatever. That's his position. So we'll go with it. 1 out of 10... How happy are we that the Bills drafted him? If he were, here's why I'm asking, you probably can tell. If he were a wide receiver, and he even had the exact year he just did as a rookie, I think we're okay. Okay, well, they're using him in a little bit more limited, short stuff, and then it grows, and we just have, you know, last year, it's Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox.
He's a rookie receiver and catches 73 passes. I know the yards weren't great. Touchdown production wasn't great, but that feels like a really good building block.
Yeah, and as a tight end, that's harder to do. Mm-hmm. Historically, you know, it's one of the best Bills tight ends seasons ever, not even just for a rookie. For a rookie, it is the best. For a rookie catching that number of passes, like, it's one of the best. So if he's a receiver and you go back 18 months, the pressure's off the receiver point, the receiver train, you know, here's somebody that when Davis leaves, you know, steps in. If Diggs ends up leaving like he did, I just think it would feel different. And maybe that's not meaningful at all. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe this is actually better because of the people who tell you how it just makes them harder to read. Two tight ends, 12 personnel. You know, that's the thesis of that one, is just more you can do. It's Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. I mean, like, just that whole premise is you're going to have a tougher time figuring me out.
I took that call on Thursday when you weren't here. And, I mean, Hernandez was awful. Fantastic athlete. I mean, his career completely got derailed in ways that we don't need to get into. He was, to me, bigger, faster, stronger version of Kincaid. And he was the number two guy behind Gronk. So, like, somebody wanted to, like, say, like, you know, the Patriots, that worked for them. Like, yeah, it did, but they had the best guy ever and a guy who could have been one of the best ever if he, you know, didn't murder people. So I got a ways to go there. Like, Knox is nowhere near either of that. Kincaid could end up becoming one of the most explosive and good tight ends in the league. Maybe as soon as this year. If he has the year that Matt Waldman's predicting, that'll happen. He'll be talked about like that. Knox is never getting near that. Knox is like a, you know, he's a guy. He's okay. He's, you know, dependable, good blocker. That's it. The guy, there's not explosion. There is not, oh, what is Knox doing? I mean, come on. I'm just covering him with a safety or a linebacker, and, you know, maybe I might get beat. He'll make some plays. But that is not, like, an explosive player at all.
No. Do you think it's different if all of this, any of this is different if Kincaid were called a receiver? What are the optics of that? Like, what are the any differences in how we would look at this? I'm not saying, by the way, that any of this is that bad. I accepted the Kincaid pick. I bought it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It made enough sense. They, of course, had to trade up. But it made enough sense. This year they did trade down twice, to be fair.
Yeah. My biggest problem with the Kincaid, he's a tight end. I've already got a tight end I'm paying 12 or 13, whatever, million a year to, so we're going to use two tight ends. And I just told you what I think of Knox. Like, I think Knox is just a guy. And if I'm going to use that, feature that, I got to be careful, because like 20% of the plays would be a lot. So like, I don't know how much they'll use it, but...
But why should that be a lot?
What do you mean?
Well, if you want Kincaid to have this kind of a ceiling, he plays, what, 80% of the plays,
right,
or more.
He's on the field all the time, and Knox is the guy that I'm spelling. The problem with it is Knox isn't dangerous enough for me to make the New England comparison that a caller made last week, and that you just sort of alluded to. I feel like I'm hurting my skills, my explosiveness, whenever the two of them are on the field, because Knox is not going to give me much, I don't think.
So how do you want to line up?
I want to line up with three receivers and Dalton Kincaid and James Cook.
Kincaid has his hand down?
Yeah, Kincaid is, I've got four receivers, they can be close to the, like Matt Waldman saying, these tighter formations. We saw a good amount of that with Brady last year. But two outside, two inside, and Cook in the backfield. That's how I think I want to do it.
Samuel, Shakir, and
Coleman.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he'll get that opportunity to be one of those starting three, I think. I don't think there's anybody here that really outranks him. Does Marquez Valdez-Scantling outrank him? He's more experienced, but I'd say no. I don't know about Claypool if he makes the roster, and you're up from there. You're just in, you're in the weeds with basically their depth chart, which is a bunch of guys that are hoping to sort of be reclamation projects.
That will be interesting. That particular comparison, Coleman and MVS, I think will be interesting. MVS does not have experience here. Of course, neither does Coleman, but he does have years of NFL experience. And they might feel like that matters. I think Knox is on the field. Like, that's our fundamental difference about our visions of this mm-hmm. offense. Is I keep thinking it, saying it, think there's lots of proof of this going back to last year. They want to run the ball more. And they will absolutely not leave Dawson Knox out of that equation. Mm-hmm. Plus, they're paying him for real. For reals, even. If you want, because I want to emphasize for real. I'm going to put a Z at the end of it.
Oh, Z. I see you're going with the Z. Okay.
I mean it. All right. For reals. So he plays because that fits who they want to be on offense. I think they'll use some of the same, during training camp and preseason, the same 12 personnel logic that they tried to sell last year, even with a different coordinator. And all the things Kincaid can do that can keep you guessing. While Knox, okay, so you know what he is and you know what he isn't, but he still has value. Mm-hmm. He has his hand down. Like that.
Yes.
And I've got James Cook, who had a good season. He had a good season, if not very good. I can't get away with pretty good. I stopped myself.
At least you said good.
Yeah, I started to say pretty good.
I'll squeeze in very good if I can. Anyway, go ahead.
I concede it was better than pretty good. it could be Davis too.
Right.
Because he might be a better fit for a more physical sort of... game plan.
Well, the reason I say 20% would be a lot is because the teams that use that the most, as I say, it's a new year and the Bills can do whatever they want. If they want to roll that out 50% of the time, I want to say good luck, because that would be almost unprecedented. Like, teams just do not use that personnel grouping. The teams that use it a lot, I don't even know if they're at 20%. So the history of the league is why I say that. Like, I put a cap on it, like how much of it will be. But I think you're saying because of Knox and because of this, you know, philosophy shift that we watched unfold last year, that maybe that will be more than that. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to say I'd be surprised.
I think it's because Kincaid is such a hybrid. And that's even being generous to his blocking prowess,
right.
To call him a hybrid. That's why I think those numbers are almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Atlanta, too, with Pitts.
Right.
They're talking about now, you know, making Pitts more of a wide receiver. He's like, I got a lot on my plate. The whole reason for Kyle Pitts is that he can play as a, quote, tight end and get better matchups. And that's what you want from Kincaid, too. You want him on linebackers. Or you want linebackers on him. And I don't know, like if, well, that's, I guess I messed the point up. But yeah, I mean, call him a tight end if you have to. And then I'm in 12 personnel on half my plays instead of a quarter or something. Okay, like really, you can call that whatever you want as far as I'm concerned. I think that's my guess as to how the Bills. And that also limits Coleman, which I think they'll probably want to do. And MVS, frankly, probably should be limited as well.
I mean, he got 20 passes last year on a team that was starving for wide receivers.
There it is.
So, I mean, what are we doing here?
There it is.
Right? If I'm – my biggest problem with the 12 is, I think, is Knox. Like, if I had a more explosive player there, I'm circling back to the New England comparison from last week again. If I had a more dangerous player there, that could also, I mean, it's a lot to ask. Can you handle the blocking? Are you, above average at that and a threat in the passing game in a way that's more than just a possession guy or like, oh, I got the right matchup, so he's open, but a threat, then okay, great. But I'm only really halfway there. Or maybe three quarters. I mean, I don't want to slight Knox too soon. I mean, he serves a purpose, and he's all right. But he's not going to scare anybody. And I think if you had another guy that could run and get open and work linebackers and DBs and zone defenses the way we believe Kincaid can, then great. You want to flood the field with tight ends, like, go for it. But I kind of feel like it's validating the pick. It's validating the contract that they gave Knox. And I don't know. I get sort of tangled up there because I'm not sure that that's great process.
MVS, by the way, almost 30. Less than a year younger than Diggs. I just say that because this, at least for me, this was sort of always like out there for Diggs is his age. And especially his last year's second half and then his trade happened. And, you know, is he old now? No, okay. He's a lot more usage in his career than Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but MVS will be 30 in October. We'll look for your calls again after the update at 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.